this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It's really a privilege to share the word this morning. So I want to thank the leadership. I know Philip is in Sean and Stunnerton. Yeah, so Philip's in Stunnerton and we're there with him in the spirit. But yeah, just thank you for the opportunity. And it really resonated in my heart when Tian said that we need to go deeper. And that's exactly part of what I'm going to share this morning. It's a very basic word. But if it's basic or simple, it doesn't mean that it's not important. Okay? On the contrary, our faith is one of simplicities, of basics. We don't live a faith full of high theories and theologies. The gospel is very basic. Amen? That's the power of it. A child should also be able to understand it. So, in this week, I had a discussion with a few guys, and I just felt the need to share a bit on our identity this morning, our identity in Christ. So like I said, it's a basic word. You all should have heard this before, but I ask that through the Holy Spirit, you will get a deeper revelation. Okay, so as I prepared, even I got a deeper revelation of who I am in Christ. So I really trust the Holy Spirit in that regard. You know, sometimes we start building, but the foundation isn't strong enough to carry the building. Okay, so the civil engineers or the geotechnical engineers will know that the foundation determines how high a building can go. This hall's foundation doesn't look the same as a 10-story building. Okay, so we need to be careful not to just run without our foundation being strong enough. So this morning we're going to go deeper, make sure our foundation is strong. Why? Because we are going to run. Why? Because God is building us higher. Before I continue, I just want to share or remind you of two things. The Planted Conference, please register this week still. It's going to be a powerful gathering. We really have set our faith out to God to carry our congregation to a different level. Be part of that. Okay, don't miss out. Register this week. Don't wait for the last moment to register. You might be disappointed. And secondly, you should have heard of the Building Fund. So I'm pretty sure it was in the announcements. If not, just contact the office. And we have established the Building Fund. There is a committee now that is working towards this plan, our faith goal. So it's exactly that. It is a faith goal. We cannot accomplish it without faith, but we also have a plan. So you all know that when you have faith, you need to step out and do certain things. So God has started speaking to us as to what we should do. And be excited with us, but more than that, have faith with us and also contribute. Okay, so our faith is activated with action. So just be reminded of that. Okay, so as an introduction, I said we cannot build a house if our foundation isn't strong enough. And in nature, many times you'll see a tree that has toppled over. And mostly what just happened is that the tree grows too fast and the root structure isn't there to support the height. So just to reiterate, I want us to make sure our roots are strong enough so that we don't have this nice tall tree and the first wind come and we get blown over. So just as an introduction. Okay, I want to put a question to you, and some of you who were with me in Bible school when we did sonship will remember these little tag warrior pictures, but I found it very intriguing that the Time magazine for many years had these adverts at the back. Tag Heuer watches, and so it's got a famous person on there, and the question is a bit small, but it says, what are you made of? What are you made of? What are you made of? And they hold a watch. I find it intriguing. What are you made of? And the guy shows you a watch. So to me, my interpretation of that is that the question is, who are you? What is your identity? Are you strong enough? Do you have what it takes to be successful? Do you have what it takes to survive? Do you have what it takes to be one of those? So the world, it's a loaded question. The world continuously gets at our identity. If you drive an Atterbury or along the highway, try to focus, not too much, but look at the ads and see what they do. They challenge who you are in the hope that they motivate you to buy the product, meaning that what you buy changes who you are, which is the exact opposite of what we will talk about this morning. So if I do ask you, who are you? What would the answer be? Bram, who are you? You're a lecturer. Okay, good. Anyone else? Who are you? You're a student. Good. And who are you, my friend? A programmer. Good. All these things, and I'm very glad you didn't say I'm a child of God, because then you would have ruined my example. All of these things, what they said are things that they do, right? The world has programmed us to build our identity on what we do, not who we are or whose we are. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So thanks for giving the right answer, even though I know you are children of God. So a friend of mine, and that's where part of the title came from, he's in branding, in marketing, and he explained to me the concept of self-branding. Because he and I started a debate about social media, and he said, listen, these days, if you want to be famous, you want to do something, it's about self-branding, meaning everything on the web is part of your brand. And even though I understand it academically, something bothers me in my spirit. And it's the same thing that bothers me when I go onto social media these days, for instance, Facebook. And I don't have a problem with Facebook, but what I'm seeing is the majority of the usage of social media is for self-promotion. And that's what bothers me. So as Christians, self-branding, self-promotion is not a godly concept. Why? Because 1 Peter 5 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. So you humble yourself and God exalts you. You don't exalt yourself. You don't promote yourself. I just want to put that in for free on the side. If you feel convicted, then good. So, you know, I always say there are many ships in the kingdom. You get friendship, it's an important one. There's relationship, there's a rulership, but sonship, daughtership, get a concept like that, is very important. Okay? And for all the ladies here this morning, don't feel left out, because all the sons make up the bride. Okay? So ultimately the sons become the bride. Feel comfortable in your sexuality. So we're going to just look at three aspects of our identity. It's legitimacy, adoption, and inheritance. In Afrikaans, it's called regmatigheid, aanneming, en erfenis. Legitimacy, adoption, and inheritance. So if you feel unqualified to be part of God's family this morning, I feel convicted. I must just say who I am. I just started. I know some of you might know me. I don't know why. I must just stop. I'm Michael Grobler. Apologies. I should have started with this. I joined the church in 2001, and it's really been my spiritual home. So when I was a student, I joined. I met my wife in church, and now we're blessed with three kids that are being discipled, Kiddies Church down there. It's really been a nice journey and a wonderful faith journey for me, being part of this community, and to have seen how God has used our leadership and how this as church has developed from a 20 odd people to where we are now with three services. So yeah, apologies, I started too fast. For those of you who don't know me, it's rude just to start talking. So if you feel unqualified to be part of God's family, then that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. We are going to remove that lie. You know what? Even as I stood here just before I came up, the thought popped in my head. But who says you can preach this morning? Are you ready for this? As I was going to come up here. So is that God? No, I was ready. I've prayed up. Now, as 2 seconds beforehand, a thought pops into my head. Okay, so that's Satan. We are surrounded by a lot of lies, and I want to establish who we are this morning. So I just said, now I'm ready. I'm a son of God. I'm just going to share the word of God with the other children of God this morning. It's as simple as that. Just as a small illustration. So let's look at Galatians 3, verse 1. This only I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. So it's a wonderful privilege we have this morning that through faith, we are sons and daughters of Abraham and God. Galatians 3, verse 26 to 29. For you all are sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This morning we're moving from legalism to freedom, and we should enjoy our childhood, our being part of a family. So we are full-fledged, legitimate children through faith, right? So I just want to say that if you've been accepted, if you have accepted Jesus, if you are born again, you are part of his family. These are all very basics, and I trust that God will just take you a bit deeper in your understanding and your revelation thereof. So God has no stepchildren. He has no half-children. If you are in, you are in. Okay? Your historic issues, your future issues have nothing to do with your legitimacy as a child. I know you know this in your heads. Let's trust God just to settle it further in our hearts. So is there anyone with any issue here this morning? Small or big? Anyone? Okay, you should all raise your hands. Okay, so I want to repeat that we are all legitimate children. He's independent of our historic issues. If the Son has made us free, we are free indeed. So I want to use an example, and apologies if you've heard this example, but it's the best one God has given me yet, so I'm going to use it again. Say, for instance, this morning, a chopper lands outside on the rugby field, okay, and a messenger runs in the hall here. Okay, and here comes the messenger. Your messenger. His name is Jock. Thanks, Jock. Okay, so the messenger from Europe, all the way from Europe, brings me this letter. I stop the service, I open it, and it says, Marco. Stand, please, Marco. Those of you who don't know Marco and Darnay, they're visiting us from the Cape. They were part of this family for many years, so they're part of our foundation. It's good to have you here this morning. I didn't warn you, but it's fine. So the letter says, Marco, at birth, his mother gave birth in Europe, and they made a massive mistake. They swapped him and another child, and he is actually Prince Charles's son. Okay? And the letter says, Marco, you must now exit. Leave your wife. Leave your wife. You need to go now. Get on the chopper, and they're going to fly you off. Everything has been prepared in the royal family. Everything. They're just waiting for you. The newspapers have already brought it out in Europe. You are a son of Prince Charles. Do you think that his life is going to change? Yes. Dramatically. Okay? Do you think who he was all the time changed? He was Prince Charles' son all the time. He just didn't know it. So nothing changed as to who he was, but the knowledge changes him. Thanks, Marco. So it is in the kingdom that our knowledge, we need to have this full knowledge of who we really are. It's easy to say I'm a child of God, but do you understand the impact of that truth? Do you understand the full impact and the full reality thereof? You know, rich children, you'll know if you know a few rich families, they carry a certain awareness about who they are around them. And then if you look at research, then also become more successful. And mostly, the parents actually cut them off from their trust funds. So it's not because they have more money that they make more money. It's because they have a, just as a side note, research has shown that they have a stronger awareness of their identity and a stronger affirmation and a stronger belief in their family, and therefore they can go further. So if that is true for rich children, how much more should we be established in our identity if we know that God is our Father, the God of the universe? Okay, another illustration. You guys know Tato there at the back? Tato, can you just stand, please? Do you know her? I'm going to shock you now. She's a small child, grandchild. Eh? Kleinkind. What's father as grandchild? Great-grandchild of Nelson Mandela. You guys know that? Okay, so now you all look at her a bit different, right? Now you're like, sure. I want to just spend some time with you afterwards. Okay? The truth is, I just lied. She's not. But she is a child, that lady, of the living God. Okay? I want you to look differently at her now, because Nelson Mandela is cool, but God is even greater. Thank you. So now you need to look at the guy next to you and say, you are a child of the living God. Okay, I hope we're going to make some progress here this morning. So I want to say that it's the knowledge of whose you are that changes the way you live. It's not because of who you are, but whose you are. So if Tag Heuer asks you, what are you made of? Then you have a few answers already in your pocket. Let's continue. The second aspect of our identity is adoption. Galatians 4. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons in Christ. Amen? It continues. Next slide. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we as normal mortals have the opportunity to call the God of the universe Abba. Okay? Hope that you've all had a revelation of what that means. If not, then let's trust God through the Holy Spirit this morning. But you can call God of the universe Abba, Papa. So there are no distinctions in the faith. We all have the right to be in this family because we are born into this family. So it doesn't matter how late you came into the family, what issues you had, and what issues you are struggling with. Anyone here that's been saved for 10 years? Good, good, good. Anyone for 20 years? Okay, nice. Anyone for 6 months or less? Wonderful. So we are all equal. Doesn't depend how long you've been saved. I'm not going to ask you who has the following issues, but doesn't matter your issues or how long you've been in the kingdom. We are all equally qualified. Okay, so we get saved and God will sort us out. We need to work at our own salvation in fear and trembling, and that will happen. But if you are born into the family, you are 100% legitimate. And we need to stop thinking like the world. You know, most religions have a performance-based theology, and many times we bring that into the kingdom. So exactly that on the next slide. We see that, the second bullet, many people move from being slaves in the world to being slaves in the kingdom. So you've been set free, but you bring this mindset. Okay, so it's in your soul level. Your spirit has been redeemed, but your soul level, you just carry this slave mentality in. We know that we've been saved through grace. And I want to say that a father's desire, God's desire, and with me being a father, your desire is for your children. It's not to punish them, push them away, drive them, whatever. It's for them. You want to be with them, you want to love them, and you want to experience that presence, that relationship. So the contrast here is performance versus relationship. Okay, our faith is one of relationship, not of performing. And if you struggle with that, I'd like to pray with you afterwards, because I got saved at a young age, and then I struggled for many years with a performance mentality. So what happened is I started doing good works, just tried to do everything right. And, you know, I really tried hard, and I succeeded in a worldly definition thereof. But I came to matric, and I was so tired. I just said, God, I believe in you. I believe in this faith, but this isn't lekker. There's no joy in this. I don't understand why you say it's so great, and then I experienced the opposite. But then I met the Holy Spirit, and everything changed, because I lacked the power, and the Holy Spirit started showing me who the real Jesus and the real Father is. And I still struggled a bit with performance relationship, or performance attitude, and then in my first year, I had the opportunity to be baptized, and as I came out of the water, that performance thing was just broken in my life. I still remember going to the shop the same day, and I was waiting for this performance thought to come back, and it just didn't. And I realized, hey, but it's gone. So even this morning, if you want to be baptized, maybe it's your opportunity. We'll open the opportunity for you. So performance versus relationship. Okay, guys, now we get to the third point, and that is inheritance. Romans 8:14-17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, so let's think about this. Mortal human beings being called to be heirs with God and be joint heirs with Christ. Heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. To me, that is truly a mind-blowing thought, that the Christ of the universe is willing to make us heirs with him. So let me just emphasize this to you. That's just a snapshot from the Passion of the Christ. This Jesus, our Savior, okay, the Savior of the whole world, saves us, and then he says, okay, you can be joint heirs with me. So there are many good inheritances in this world. You can inherit money, a farm, cars, gold, whatever. But Christ comes and he says, I want to make you a joint heir with me. Okay? Think about that. That is a mind-blowing truth, that that man would choose to make us joint heirs with him. That should do more to your identity than being part of a rich family. Amen? That should do more to your identity than being part of a rich family. So, what else is part of our inheritance? Hebrews 10. Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So God forgives our sin, and then what does he do? He forgets it. So we all know that God is omniscient. He knows everything. So the God who knows everything in himself has the ability to choose to cut off that knowledge of your past sin. Because he is all-powerful, he can do that. Yes, he knows everything, but in him he has the ability to say, I will forget, I will remember it no more. Once again, a powerful choice that our God makes. Show me another God that is willing to cut off history deliberately. He can't access. If he says he's forgiven and forgotten, he has done it. So I want to say to some of you that you might worry that you're going to get to heaven and God is going to show you a lot of your history prior to getting saved. He says if you have entered this family, he has forgotten your sins. Okay? Wonderful privilege, part of our identity. Doesn't give you free rein to continue sinning. Ephesians 1 verse 14. The Spirit is God's guarantee, his deposit, that he will give us the inheritance he has promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. And like I said, when I was just driven, I wasn't drawn to God, and the Holy Spirit set me free, the Holy Spirit showed me the Father, it showed me Jesus. And I open the door for anyone this morning that has not met with the Holy Spirit. It's a very easy prayer. I waited 5 years to pray the prayer, and I was very angry at myself. The day I prayed it, I was saved for 5 years prior to asking for the Holy Spirit. I remember I walked out of the hall, Sias still prayed for me. I was full of joy, and the second thought that came up with me was that I was angry at myself for waiting so long, because immediately I knew this is what I longed for. Okay. So, why is a knowledge of your identity important? I'm just going to illustrate to you two examples. End of Matthew 3, Jesus is baptized, right? You guys recall that scripture? Matthew 3, I think 19, he is baptized. He comes out of the water, and as he comes out, God the Father speaks to him and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Okay. Matthew 4, verse 3. So, next chapter. Jesus goes into the wilderness, and what does Satan do? He attacks his identity. The exact same thing God the Father did. "You are my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Satan comes, and he opposes this. He said, "If you are the Son of God, then do the following." Verse 6. "If you are the Son of God." And then he realizes he's not going to manage, and he says, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." So Satan must be really stupid in that regard, because God the Father just said, "You are my Son." Immediately thereafter, Satan comes in, "No, if you are the Son of God." Okay, so a reestablishment of importance of your identity. If Satan went to accuse Jesus' identity, it meant that it was important. That he knew that if Jesus stands on this identity, he will accomplish much. And so it will be in our lives. Second example, you know that they couldn't find a reason to crucify Jesus? Have you guys watched The Passion of the Christ, the movie? Yes, if you haven't watched it, I couldn't walk when I stepped out of the movie. I just sat there. It was just so encompassing and full of truth and an illustration of what Jesus did for us. But you will remember in the movie, they challenged him and they couldn't get a reason to crucify him. And then they asked him, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." Then the high priest tore his clothes, and in the movie he shouts and he just, you know, goes mad. He goes berserk. He says, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And then they crucified him. So they couldn't get anything, you know, all these little, you know, stories. "Oh, we can crucify him for this." "No, we can't. The law doesn't permit it." And then the one priest got an idea. He was going to ask him, "Are you the Son of God?" And when he said it, that led to his death. So, two examples of Jesus' identity and the importance thereof that should establish why it's important for us as well. With that being said, I just want to caution you that as you step into identity, you come onto the spiritual radar, as Jesus did. Satan was opposing Jesus, but in that point when he was baptized and his identity was affirmed by the Father, that's when Satan tried to really accuse him stronger than ever before. So just a word of caution that as you step into your identity, you do come onto the spiritual radar, and the accuser, Satan, will try and get you out of that position, like he just tried with me now in a small example. So don't be afraid. Yes, he is the accuser and he tries to put thoughts in our heads. but when he reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Okay? So as that thought comes, you just say, hey, buddy, let's talk about you a bit. You know where you are going. I know where I'm going, but let's talk about you. So don't be afraid. Many people, they'll say, oh, I'm under spiritual attack. And then they'll say it as if it's a bad thing. I say, great. It means you're on the spiritual radar. Satan leaves all the floating Christians. He doesn't care about them. He actually enjoys them floating around. But as soon as you step into your identity and you start fulfilling your calling, it's then when you will get opposition. But rejoice. That's a whole different sermon. You can rejoice in that opposition. It means you are on the spiritual radar. So if you hear someone say that again, just say, congratulations. You're on the spiritual map. So I want us to stand, and then we're going to take communion together. Give some opportunity to worship another song. Tian, if we, after communion, can sing the last song, just worship the last song you did, that would be great, after we did communion. So guys, if the question comes, who are you? If the difficulty comes, if the challenge comes, you can declare that I am a child of God and I'm an heir with Christ. Okay, so if that challenge comes, if the difficulty comes, stand in your identity, stand in Christ, and you can oppose it. Spiritual power in this regard. So I'm going to pray so long. No, wait, let's just wait for the elements to be distributed. Maybe while we're waiting, the next scripture, Romans. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 8, verse 19. I'm going to put it on the board there. I'm going to read it to you. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, for the daughters of God. New Living Translation says, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that day when God will reveal His children really are. Because whole creation waiting with expectation for our revealing. Okay, it's not the knowledge, it's not who you are, what you do, it is whose you are. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak, you give power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet, you are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is